So the Gemara talks about how if a bunch of people are eating together and they're reclining, one person can make a bracha for everybody. So there are some machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan. There are two lashonas in the machlokas. In the first lashon, the Gemara says, this is after the first five or six lines down from the Amud Aleph, from a Rav lashon la pasta by Yosebel, this is only applicable to bread, which requires leaning of Yayin Labaya Seba, but wine doesn't even require it. Meaning that if a bunch of people got together to drink some wine, then one person can make the bracha on the wine to be motzi everybody else, even if they're not reclining. Rabbi Yochanan mafilu Yayin Nami Baya Seba. Rabbi Yochanan says no, even Yayin also requires a Seba. There's a second lashon in which Rav says that it's only with respect to bread that a Seba works, but with Yayin a Seba doesn't work at all. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Yayin, Haseba works for Yayin, for wine as well. So Halacha Lamaisa, we pass from like the first Lashon, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Meaning what? Meaning that Yayin requires Haseba, but at least it works. So that if there was Haseba for wine, a bunch of people got together to drink wine, and one person made the Berei Pi HaGafen, then he would be able to be mostly everybody else, provided that there would be Haseba. So the Gemara asks various kashas on the different Lashonos, and towards the end of the Sugya, before you get to the last two dots, so the Gemara says that there's a kasha from the Seifa of a brice of some sort that's a Tosefta that's brought in the Gemara. What does the Seifa of the Tosefta say? So the Sefer of the Tosefta says that if you had a bunch of people who were together, so the Sefer says when it comes to Yayin, apapish kolechad ve'echad beirach le'atzmo, even though everybody had previously made a bracha that is not going to be valid with respect to the continuation of the suda that's described over there after this asebech and mevarech l'kulam, one person is allowed to make a bracha for everybody. So the question is, according to the second lashon of Rav, which said that for Yayin, Haseba, it doesn't work altogether. So how can it be that in this case, regardless of the issue of why it was necessary to make another bracha, it's a separate issue, but why in this case, when we say that everybody is sitting down together for Yayin, one person can make the bracha for everybody? So the answer is, says the Gemara in the last line, Shiny Hasan, the Migo, the Kame, Hanyalei Haseba, the Pas, Hanyalei Haseba, the Yayin, that because the Haseba, because everybody in that case was convened, they were washing their hands for Pas, they were convened for bread, so therefore, since it's possible for one person when they're convened and reclining and eating a meal of bread to make hamotzi for everybody else, so too, even though normally if they were only convening for purposes of Yayin, one person wouldn't be able to make the Birchas of Yayin for everybody else, but in this case, the person would be able to make for everybody else. So this answer, even though it's only going according to Rab, has relevance halacha lemaisa, even though we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, as we'll see in a moment. So in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Yud Gimel, so the Mechaber basically paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, but says nowadays we don't have Haseba. Nowadays we don't have reclining. People don't recline when they have the meals. The only time that we really recline is Derech Eres on Leil Seder, on the Pesach night, Leil Seder. So we recline for to show Derech Eres. But the rest of the time, we don't really engage in reclining. So therefore, the halacha is that nowadays, our yeshiva didan, is like a seba ditu, that when we get together just to sit together, so our sitting is the equivalent of a seba. So therefore, since the halacha is that pasen yayin, haseba, require haseba, so they also require yeshiva. Now, when it comes to anything other than pasen yayin, they never required haseba, so all that they ever would have required was yeshiva. So according to the Mechaber, now everything is in the same category. Whether you're dealing with bread, whether you're dealing with yayin, whether you're dealing with mine peros, people get together to eat food and vegetables, so as long as there's yeshiva, so then one person can make a bracha for everybody else, and if there isn't a yeshiva, then you can't make a bracha for pas yayin or anything else. So the Rama quotes the Ravid, the Shita Saravid, who says that no, that really, even though we don't have Haseba, and therefore we're Kobeya Akvias through yeshiva alone, but that yeshiva is only going to be good for purposes of a passing Yayin. But when it comes to anything else, if we're dealing with any food other than bread or wine, so one person cannot make a bracha to be motzi everybody else. They don't have that level of yechashivas, they don't have that level of kavias, that one person can be motzi anybody else. So the Mishnah Berurah, I believe, points out that this is only true if they weren't otherwise kobeya for pas or yayin. But if you are kobeya for something for which we say one person can make a bracha for everybody else, so agav, one person can make a bracha for everybody else with respect to other things as well. So that even though the yayin wouldn't automatically be motzi peros, but it wouldn't include peros in the bracha, if now the people want to have peros as well, if one person had made a break for a goffin for everybody else, so since there was a kvias, that's the migo that the Gemara has, migo that they got together for one type of purpose, well, one person can be motzi everybody else to the bracha rishona, so for other brachas as well, the person can be motzi everybody else. So if you start out with the yayin, so then you brought some apples to the table, so then for one person would be able to make a break for eats for everybody else as well. Or even if it's a suda pas, if you're bringing fruits that are not part of the meal per se, let's say it's Rosh Hashanah night, and you're bringing fruits that are not part of the meal per se, you're just bringing them in because it's Siman and Milsa. It's not part of the Suda. You would make a separate Brei Pri Eitz, so you're bringing your dates, or you're bringing your pomegranates that you're going to make a bracha upon in order to show a Siman. So let's say that your minhag is that you do it after Hamotzi. There are different minhagim. One minhag is that it's done between Kiddush and Hamotzi, and the other minhag is to bring the fruits after Hamotzi and to eat it then. But there would typically be a bracha, so since this is a Suda's Pas, where you've made a bracha on the pas, one person would also be able to be motzi everybody else as well with respect to a bracha on the peros. But the Mishnah Berurah points out that there are many who say that bisman hazeh, people don't get together just to convene a gathering where they're only going to drink wine, right? We don't really have wine and cheese gatherings so much, do we? So people don't have this type of a session. They say, let's all sit down and we're just going to drink wine together. Normally they might do that if it's a meal for bread. A bread meal, they'll get together. Maybe they'll have wine as well in the course of a bread meal, but they're not going to just have a wine meal. So therefore he said that the preponderance of poskim bizman hazeh would be of the opinion that this principle of when people sit together, that one person can make a bracha rishona to be motzi everybody else, that would only apply in a meal of bread. But if it was only for purposes of yayin, let's say people just got together to drink wine, so then that's not enough of a kviyas so where one person can make a bracha rishona for everybody else. So it should follow, according to what we just said, the migo wouldn't apply to that situation either. So if people had the minhag on Rosh Hashanah night, for example, that instead of waiting till after Hamotzi to eat the peros, they had the peros, the special peros of Siman and Milsa between the Berachas HaYayin, between the Kiddush and the Hamotzi. So it could be that maybe we wouldn't apply the Migo. Maybe we would only apply the Migo if we were up to the point in which, this is just a suggestion, which we were up to the point in which they already were Kobeya for Pas, and therefore we could say the Migo that they were Kobeya for Pas, so one person could also make a bracha for everybody else with respect to the peros. But maybe in this case, since the only bracha that took place thus far was the bracha on the Yayin, that we wouldn't apply the Migo Bizman Hazeh according to the Mishnah Berurah with respect to the peros, that everybody, though I think this is the minhag anyway, that everybody makes their own bracha on the fruit, but if that's not the minhag, so this would be a real question with respect to anybody who would have the practice of only one person making the bracha on the fruit and everybody else being yotzi. It could be that you can't rely upon that, especially if you're eating the fruit between the Kiddush and Hamotzi.
Could it be that because they're about to eat bread, that yeshiva between all of them together will get the status of?
It could be. I'm raising the question. I'm saying that it's a shaila. There are some who bring a shaila for other reasons as well, that it could be that that there's a real shaila about a bracha achrona. If people are sitting and reading the peyos before Hamotzi, Rabbi Yochanan Adler raised this issue. If people are eating the peyos before Hamotzi, they're not going to continue during the meal. So if they ate before the meal, they made the bracha, you make a bracha on a pomegranate, so then it could be, you're going to continue eating the pomegranate after Hamotzi, so the bracha from before can go on the pomegranate that you're eating afterwards, like Seder night. You make the bracha on the karpas, and it goes on the maror later on as well, the Berei Pri HaAdamah. But if you're only eating the pomegranate then, and you're not eating additional pomegranate after the Birchas Hamotzi, and you ate a shear that would require a bracha achronas, then it's a real shaila lahalacha whether you should make a bracha achrona before the Birchas Hamotzi, because it's not really covered in the Birchas Hamotzi of the meal, since it wasn't really part of the meal, or whether you don't have to. So there are other reasons why one might hesitate before having the peros between Kiddush and Hamotzi. So this might be another reason. If the family wanted to have a practice that one person makes the bracha to be motzi everybody else, so this is yet another reason why you might might be better off in having the Simona Milsa fruits after Birchas HaMotzi, as opposed to between Birchas HaYayin and Birchas HaMotzi. The Shulchan Aruch in Simon Reish, Reish Gimel also points out that this halacha of one person being motzi other people is only applicable to the bracha rishona. It's not applicable to the bracha achrona. With respect to bracha achrona, we only have zimun with respect to bread. So with respect to bread, you could have one person who's mizamin and makes the bracha for everybody else of birchas hamazon. But when it comes to anything else, we say ein zimun leperos. When it comes to anything else, so there's no concept of zimun, of there being a kvias that one person can make a bracha to be motzi everybody else, and everybody has to make their own bracha achronos. The Mishnah Berurah points out this is only if the other people know how to make the bracha for themselves. If one person doesn't know how to make the bracha, so obviously they have no choice, but they have to rely upon someone to make the bracha for them. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Taz and many other poskim who say that bisman hazeh, there are many people who are not proficient, they're not fluent in the bracha achrona. People get together for a kiddush and so forth. So since b'di'evit it would work. We know that it works l'chatchila if somebody doesn't know how to make the bracha themselves, the one person can be motzi. It says that even maybe that b'di'evit it would work if someone, other people did know how to make the bracha and someone made the bracha for them. But he thinks that even l'chatchila, when you have people who presumably know how to open up a siddur and say the bracha, but since many people might not in practice actually do that, and many people might not be fluent in the saying or remembering to say the bracha achrona, so he endorses that even the chatchila, it would be appropriate in those types of a setting, in those types of settings, for one person to get up and to make a bracha achrona for everybody else. So that's actually brought down in the Mishnah Berurah. But then he brings, after he quotes the Taz and the other poskim, he says that nonetheless, the preferable practice, if somebody was going to be yotzei in that fashion, is that they should say milah b'milah together with a mevarech. So again, many of the people you might be doing it for are not people who are ready to do it milah b'milah together with the mevarech, and you should do it anyway. But if somebody was at the level in which they were capable of appreciating the importance of saying milah b'milah and actually doing it, so then he recommends that rather than be yotzei with the person who's being mevarech for everybody else, that the person who is capable of saying it milah b'milah should definitely, at least l'chatchila, say it milah b'milah. Okay, so the Gemara also talks about this issue of can you be motzi in the middle of the meal. In the middle of the meal, we have an issue of ein beisa bliya panoi, that people are in the middle of eating, and therefore we don't want them to get involved with listening to a bracha and answering amen. Maybe they'll choke themselves if it's in the middle of the meal. So then Tosfos talks about this whole thing. And at the end of Tosfos raises an issue about Havdalah, about Kvias and Havdalah. So this is the end of Tosfos Tibu Amaska Hovein basically Apanoi. So Tosfos over there says, Vatzach Iyon Ktsas, that we have to examine the what the issue is, may Havdalah. Shanam Avdilin Ve'om Dim, we talk about how we need some sort of a haseba. And we spoke about Bismana said that we don't have a haseba, we need at least a yeshiva in order to be motzi other people. So Havdalah includes the Birchas Berei Pri Hagafen. So how come when it comes to Havdalah, the minhag seems to be that people stand for Havdalah? Heichanu potrin zeh miyayin mehavdalah? How can we be poter each other from yayin Havdalah? Havdalah might not be such a kasha if it's just the birchas a mitzvah of Havdalah. So that's not a birchas a nenin. We don't find that you need a kavius that everyone's sitting together for a birchas a mitzvah. But Tosa seems to assume that the yayin is a birchas a nenin. And therefore, since the yayin is an integral part of the Havdalah, so therefore everybody really should be sitting. We're not... we're not eating, ben yoshvin or ben mesubin. Halayla is it. All the laylas of Motzei Shabbos. We're not doing ben mesubin or ben yoshvin. We're not sitting and we're not mesubin. We're standing. How could such a thing be? B'sheme yeshlama, the Tosfos should just suggest, mitok shekoven asman k'dei lotzisi they have dollar. That since everybody's koveya, they're all kind of, this is why many people are makbid to have dollar. They just kind of try to like squeeze themselves near the mavdil so they could feel a sense of kfias, like there's somehow an inyan of like of ramming yourself into everybody like around Havdalah, that's it, so that we should be clear that you're establishing this kviyas that Tosfos is talking about. So kabinami akula milsa, so therefore the kviyah goes on the Havdalah and it goes on the yayin as well. This is the whole kviyas, everybody is kind of cramming around and being koveya themselves for this purpose. I don't know that Tosfos means literally that they're all jamming into each other. Tosus means that they're all standing for this purpose, I think. Ulekach, but nonetheless, Tosus seems to indicate that's not a lechatchila. Tosus seems to indicate that the lechatchila is nar b'tov l'mavdil l'gam l'shomim. It is better for the mavdil and also the shomim sheyeshu b'shas adalah. They should sit during abdalah. She has yanira kikavu partu apoter osam, because then that's more clear that there's a kfias. The Gemara talks about haseba, talks about yeshiva in the context of kfias. It doesn't talk about amida. So therefore, Tosus says it would be better if they would all sit. So the Beis Yosef seems to be of the opinion that this isn't even just a recommendation. This is really Ladina, that this is the way it has to be, that everybody's supposed to sit. Tosus didn't like their first answer, and that's why Tosus said, Lekach no betov, that it's appropriate to sit down. But the Sefer Agur b'shem Aguda seemed to like the first part of Tosus better, and says that this is definitely a justification, that everybody is doing a kvias for purposes of saying Abdullah by standing up, and therefore it's perfectly fine to stand up. So that's a machlokis in the Shulchan Aruch. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber in Hilchos Abdullah says that one should sit down when they're being motzi others with Abdullah, and the Ramah says that the minhag is to stand up. So Ramah just says that some say to stand, and v'chei no'again, that's the minhag. So the Ramah seems to endorse the minhag, which I think is the more prevalent common minhag of standing up when somebody makes Abdullah and then being motzi other people. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked about this. He has a tshuva. It's probably in the Yigros, but I found the tshuva in the back of the Sefer, the Radiance of Shabbos, as tshuvas by Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe, in the back of that Sefer, talks about which is preferable, and he says that it really seems like it depends on whether you understand the Birchas HaYayin, which is included within Havdalah. Do you understand that the Birchas HaYayin in the context of a mitzvah is a Birchas HaNenin, or is it a Birchas HaMitzvah? So he says that he has a raya from Rashi in Erev Daf Mem Amud Beis, which is talking about drinking, if one is has to make Kiddush in some form. The Gemara there has an exploratory conversation about whether the Birchas Zman has to be on a coast or whatever in Yom Kippur. So in the context of that discussion, Rashi says that even though the Yayin can't be drunk, so you can give it, the Gemara suggests that you can give it to a baby who's not fasting on Yom Kippur. And Rashi says the only reason you have to give it to the baby is because it's a genai lakos if it's not actually drunk. If a bracha is made in a kos and it's not drunk, it's a genai. So Rashi doesn't say that it's an asa lehanos me'olam azebeli bracha. He says it's a genai. So from there, Rav Moshe brings a raya that according to Rashi, when I have a birchas hayayin in the context of a mitzvah, the birchas hayayin according to Rashi is not understood as a birchas anenin, that it has to be drunk als birchas anenin, but rather it's a birchas hamitzvah, and the only reason why you have to give it to a yanuka, a baby, to drink is because otherwise it's a gnai the kosher bracha, like on Tisha B'Av, right? During the nine days, if you're making havdalah, so the minhag is that the person doesn't drink the yayin himself, he gives it to a katan. It could be drunk by a katan who's old enough for chinuch, but not old enough to understand the korban. So it doesn't have to be drunk by the person who's making the bracha. It's be a gnai if the kos wasn't actually drunk. So he said that since with respect to other, like a bris milah that took place on Yom Kippur, that's what we would do. If there was a bris milah on Yom Kippur, we would make the bracha on the yayin. We don't abstain from making the bracha on the yayin. We make the bracha and we give it to a katan. We give it to the katan. We give it to the actual katan who's 8 days old. We put a little bit of the yayin in his mouth, and that way we yotze the inyan that the kosher bracha should be drunk by somebody. So we see that we essentially accept this argument of Rashi that it's really a birchas a mitzvah, not a birchas a nenin. So since we follow that practice, he said that really it should follow that it's appropriate to stand during Havdalah. It's really a birchas a mitzvah, and it's appropriate to stand during Havdalah. He said even though if you look at the Vilna Gaon and the Shulchan Aruch, so the Gaon seems to endorse the position that it's appropriate to sit, but he said if you look in the Siddur Agra, the Siddur Agra quotes that somebody saw that the Vilna Gaon actually stood during Havdalah. And if you look in the footnote over there, it says it was Chaim, but no less than Rav Chaim Balozhiner, who saw that the Vilna Gaon stood during Havdalah. And he said that if it was an Eidus from Chaim Balozhiner, Mistama, Rav Chaim Balozhiner wasn't giving an Eidus just to talk about when the Vilna Gaon was making Havdalah to be Motzi himself. He must have been talking, otherwise he would have been more precise in his Lashon, that he saw the Vilna Gaon standing making Havdalah just for himself. So it must be the Vilna Gaon stood even when he was making Havdalah to be Motzi other people. So therefore he says that he thinks that the correct minhag, really, that the only way out is if somebody wants to say, well, I follow the Vilna Gaon. So he said, but it's not even clear what the Vilna Gaon really did. debate of what the Vilna Gaon really held. So since it's not really clear what the Vilna Gaon really held, so he comes out more in favor of the position that it's appropriate to stand during Havdalah. He says, just parenthetically, he says, even though I sit, said that Rav Moshe says, I myself sit, it's true, during Havdalah. He said, that's because my father says, of course I sit. He said, anybody who doesn't have this family minhag, that they sit during Havdalah, so he thought that it was the more correct minhag, like the Ramah, to stand during Havdalah, during the Birchas Havdalah. So the Gemara here on, I did a Pidyon HaBein on Yud Zayin Tammuz. So it's a question, the Birchas Hayayin, Pinyon Abayin, is really just pomp and ceremony that is added to the whole ceremony. So the question was, should we just eliminate it altogether, or should we do it? So since it happened to be the Yud Zayin B'Tammuz was Nidche this year, so number one, the fast was Nidche. It was a question because the Pinyon HaBein was also Nidre. The Pinyon HaBein had fallen out on Shabbos, just like Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, but it was Nidre for one day, so that made it a little bit less essential to make the Birchas Sukkos because it was a Nidre, but since the fast itself was a Nidre, so I actually discussed it with Rabbi Willig beforehand because I think I was in Moresh HaKolel that Shabbos. I was in Moresh HaKolel that Shabbos, right, of Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, so I was discussing what to do with the Pinyon HaBein. So we worked out that it was probably appropriate to do the Birchas Hakos, like we discussed, and not to drink it, but to give it to a katan. So I brought my 10-year-old son with me, and just for the purpose of drinking the yayin of the bracha of the Berei Pi Hagafen at the Pinyon HaBein and Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. Okay, so the Gemara at the towards the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph has a discussion about the Birchas Areach. So we see there were all kinds of different brachos made on different smells. The Gemara says, how do we know that you're supposed to make a bracha before you smell something sweet, something nice? From its back says, Kol neshama tehel kahal luka. That the neshama gets a pleasure from something. That's the notion of reach. Reach gives pleasure to the neshama. That's why we make the berei b'nei mesamim on Motzei Shabbos, because we're losing the neshama yaseva. So the neshama needs some extra sustenance. So reach gives sustenance to the neshama. So this is how we know. So a number of achronim ask, why do I need a pasuk altogether? I already know from Laman Hey Amud Aleph that you're not allowed to have any kind of hana, that it's a svara. You can't have hana. It's a svara that you can't get any hana. So why should reach be any different? So a number of the achronim all answer the same thing, that we know that if somebody's goof is getting pleasure, that we know misavara, that the goof shouldn't be able to get pleasure without a bracha. But it could be the neshama is different. Maybe the neshama could get pleasure without a bracha. The neshama is already in the lofty spheres. It's already kind of has a connection with Shemayim. So maybe it could already partake of that which is b'shemayim. So the that's not what they say. I'm just elaborating. So so that's the so the chiddush is. So we have this pasuk called neshama tehalukah haluka, that even if we're pleasure of the neshama, the neshama should not receive this pleasure without first making the bracha. So the Gemara has that on things that come from trees, it's atzei, borei atzei v'samim, and for things that come from weeds and herbs, it's borei isvei v'samim, and then there's a special bracha that's made on afar, Hashem and afar simon of what's the bracha that we have over here? The borei shem and arev, that you make the borei shem and arev. So generally speaking, we don't make any of these brachos because often we don't really know where the sweet smelling things even came from, whether it came from a tree, whether it came from the ground, whether it came from balsam. So Tosos quotes over here that if you have if somebody who misha olek b'bayis yesham b'samim v'yesham, this is Tosos of Diva Maskel Ados v'yesham b'nei b'samim shemirich ben. He has b'samim that he's smelling misapkale, and he has a suffix imimine eitz. Even in a dhamma, he doesn't know if it comes from a tree, if it comes from the ground. Who? So some say, we said earlier that a shahakol works for everything. So why not for reach too? Maybe you can make a shahakol. On reach, dal kulon in berach shahakol yatsa. So then he quotes, just kind of like the final line, which is the main line as far as we're concerned when it comes to Birchas HaReach, is V'harav Abeinu Moshe Mikutzi Hayomer Shivarach Borei Minei B'Samim. Moshe Mikutzi said that the bracha, you know what bracha you should make? You should make a Borei Minei B'Samim. That's the catch-all bracha when it comes to various brachas of B'Samim. So generally speaking, that's what we do. Generally speaking, when we have B'Samim, the Aruch HaShulchan points out that in Resim and Reshtei Zayin, that we don't have such fluency or proficiency very often. We're not so bikin in the different besamim. So we often generally end up making bereimin in besamim. We bring besamim for Havdalah, so we don't even, technically speaking, you can make a bereatze besamim, berei yisrei besamim, berei shem and arev, if you had the right types of besamim that fit those categories. But generally speaking, we have some sort of a concoction, and we know the bereimin in besamim works, so that we always make the bracha bereimin in besamim. That's generally the practice when it comes to birchas harech. But if you know that something fits any of these other categories, so you could make that bracha. So the Gemara Mem Gimel Amid Beis speaks about a bracha which is comes up a lot on quizzes. That it's kind of like one of these trick questions. What are the four brachas you only make once a year or something like that? So one of those brachas is described in Mem Gimel Amid Beis. I'm Rav Yehuda. Hi man, it's enafik biyomi Nissan. Somebody goes out during the months of Nisan. The months of Nisan. How many months of Nisan are there? The Chazi Ilani, and they see that they see trees. The Kamalablavi, they are budding, they're flowering, they're beginning to bud the fruit. Omer Baruch Shalom Yisabe Olam Aklum. So they make a bracha Baruch Shalom. It doesn't. Most Gemaras don't have nekudos. So people often, you know, they get comes Nisan time. So you have to make this. You're supposed to make this bracha. It's according to the Aruch HaShulchan, it's Refuya Biyad HaHaman. In his days, it was very Refuya. People didn't always pay attention to making this bracha. I remember when we had the whole tekis on Birchas HaChama, because it was such a big deal that it was only made once out of every 28 years. So therefore, we made a whole big Yomiyun, we had a whole big event in which we had all kinds of shiurim about Birchas HaChama. So Rabbi Rapp said to me at the time, we should have a whole big yom about the Birchas HaIlonis, because as also people only say about once every 28 years. So so in recent years, it's become more of the practice for people to try to be makbid about this. So they make the bracha baruch shelo kisab olam aklum, uvaravo vrios tovos vilanos tovos. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says vrios tovos vilanos tovos. For some reason, everybody tries to improve upon the nusach of the bracha. In a lot of sidurim, you find vrios tovos vilanos tovim. Decided, I don't know, grammatically it's more correct to say tovim than tovos, but the Gemara says tovos. So what's so bad about the Gemara's nusach? So I try to say the Gemara's nusach. Vrios tovos vilanos tovos, lis nos behem b'nei adam. That last word also got clipped a little bit over the years. Lis nos you won't find. You'll find lehanos. Lehanos behem b'nei adam. So a lot of sidurim, the Oskol Siddur has lehanos behem b'nei adam. And the Koran Siddur says lehanos behem. They took out the lehanos. They made it, I don't know, they've decided that make it a little bit less passive. I'm not sure. But I think in the Shulchan Aruch, at least it's conjugated. In this version of the Shulchan Aruch, the way it's conjugated, I don't know if there's a yud, but they conjugated with a tzera. So it's lehanos behem b'nei adam. So I think that's probably the more correct one, is lehanos behem b'nei adam. And you make it at the point in time in which, and that's the whole thing. When are you supposed to make this bracha? So the Mefarshim say that this is something which should be done only with respect to fruit trees. And the Aruch HaShulchan explains, because it's a special bracha with respect to something which is not hechrechi, something which is not indispensable. As you said, things that grow from the ground, people need. Those are indispensable for their sustenance. But fruits, so that's an extra luxury. So that's why we have this special bracha. So we don't make it, we only make it on fruit, not on vegetables, and we make it on an ilan that actually has peyos. So you have to identify in your neighborhood an ilan that has peyos. The chiddush of Yomei Nisan is that if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the notion of doing it in Nisan is not necessarily so indispensable. It's Yomei Nisan. If it happens to be that during the month of Nisan, that is one of the, if it's during the month of Nisan, the fruit tree has already begun to bud, and you already have the flowering of the fruit tree, so then you make it during the Chodesh of Nisan. But the Yom Nisan can extend even beyond the month of Nisan. It could be more days if it only begins to bud during a particular year, during Chodesh year, so then you can make the bracha during Chodesh year. It's just that you're supposed to make the bracha when it begins to bud. So normally the fruit trees will begin to bud during the month of Nisan, and then one should go out and make the bracha on the fruit trees. There are some poskim who say that they're makbid on the word ilane. Even the Shulchan Aruch says when you see ilanos, they said it has to be at least two trees. There are some poskim who say it has to be at least two trees. I think the minhag ha'olam is we're just so thrilled to make the bracha altogether. We're happy if we find one fruit tree. So I think the minhag ha'olam is to make it even if there's just one standing alone fruit tree. I haven't seen many who are makbid on that it should be two trees together.
But don't some poskim say it has to be done in the month of Nisan? I've heard that the I think kavdas is for suchubas are on this.
Yeah, there are some who say, look, but again, the Shulchan Aruch is very clear that if it didn't begin to bud until after Chodesh Nisan, you can make the bracha after Chodesh Nisan. That's at least the din of midina de Shulchan Aruch. That's what he brings down. He says if it's not during the month of Nisan, you look in the Mishnah Berurah. It's not during the month of Nisan and only buzz during the month of Mishnah Berurah says like this during the month of Iyar, so you can make it then. It says in Mefurish. You could take a look. As we'll do one more thing. So the Gemara here says it brings down that person should rather put themselves into a fiery furnace. Do you find it?
I see. He says that you should be done with the fruit begins to grow, but I don't see where he's. And he says you can do it even if the fruit gets mature, but I don't see where he says before that it could be outside the month of Nisan.
I think he does. I think he does. Okay. I'm pretty sure that he does. Okay. Let me take a quick look over here. I'm sorry. Could be it's in the Aruch HaShulchan. If it's not here, so it's in the Aruch HaShulchan. Let's put it that way. Okay, good. Okay, So you should do it during Chodesh Nisan. Certainly, if it didn't bud before the end of Chodesh Nisan, you should. Then you have a room to be makel. But if it began to, bud during Chodesh Nisan, then you should definitely do it during Chodesh Nisan. I agree. Okay. The Beis Yosef said, if you didn't do it right away, then you don't have the right to do it afterwards. So therefore, that you put that together with the fact that Chodesh Nisan, so that's the reason to be machmir in such a case, not to do it after Chodesh Nisan. The Mordechai says otherwise, but okay. So the Gemara says it's better to fling yourself into a fiery furnace than to embarrass somebody in public. We learned that from Tamar, who was ready not to expose the Yehuda if he wasn't prepared to reveal himself as being the one who had relations with her, and she would have been killed as a result. So Tosus in Sota, Daf Yunam and Beis, who also brings this Gemara, so Tosus asks, why isn't this included in the three things which are Yereg V'Yavor? We know that there's Ritzicha, and there's Shvichos Damim, and there's Avodah Zarah. So Tosus says, maybe because of the fact that it's not Enam Mefereshes B'Torah, that it's not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. So some understand that according to Tosus, this is only a Din D'Rabbanan, that it's not on a Daraisa level. One doesn't really have to fling himself into a fiery furnace. The Rambam, when the Rambam brings this halacha of not embarrassing somebody, so the Rambam says, Ein lo chelek lolam haba. But the Rambam doesn't say that you have to give up your life for this. So it seems pretty clear that the Rambam, at least codified, halachically speaking, doesn't consider this to be one of the things that you have to give up your life for. But the Rabbeinu Yonah, in the Shari Tshuva, and Shari Gimel, Simon Kuf Lamites, the Rabbeinu Yonah says that this is included within Amizrayo Deretzicha. If you're going to, so it actually is in the Gimel Aveiros Chamuras because it's included within Amizrayo Deretzicha. If you're going to cause somebody to lose their circulation, as it were, because you've embarrassed them in public, so he holds that it really is Eirek Bial Bial Yavor. So in the Rishima Shiurim, Rabbi Reichman quotes, I guess, from the Shiuri Arab, that he said that it could be that this is a reshus, that this is one of those optional cases. The Rambam holds that if there's a case which is not Yereg Val Yavu, and a person allows themselves to get killed rather than to do the Aveira, so they've committed a terrible Aveira. They can't do the Kesef Mishnah quotes lots of others who disagree and say that sometimes a person has the reshus to volunteer their life, particularly if they're a gadol and they're making an example to inspire other people to be mechazik themselves in their faith. So sometimes he holds that there is a reshus. So he says that the lashon of noach lo liyadam shiapalasos, so noach lo sounds like it's not absolutely required. It's noach lo, it's a reshus. It's something which is optional. So he wanted to argue that this might be a raya for the position of the kesef mishnah pashtus. Is halakha l'maisa? We don't know that this is a real din, like the simple reading of Tosfos and the simple reading of the Rambam, but that it's just underscoring that it's a terrible thing to embarrass somebody in public. So we shouldn't embarrass anyone, and we should all be good to each other and ask mechilef to each other for anything, any way that we may have wronged each other as we go into Rosh Hashanah season. And want to wish everybody a ksivah ksivah tov. Okay. Happy healthy year to you as well. Yes.